The epistle appointed to be read for this, the second Sunday in Advent, is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, whatever things have been written for our instruction, that through the patience and the consolation afforded by the Scriptures, we may have hope. May then the God of patience and of comfort grant you to be of one mind towards one another, according to Jesus Christ, that in one spirit you may with one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive one another, even as Christ has received you, to the honor of God. For I say that Christ Jesus has been a minister of the circumcision in order to show God's fidelity in confirming the promises made to our fathers, but that the Gentiles glorify God because of his mercy, as it is written, "Therefore will I praise thee among the Gentiles and will sing to thy name." And again he says, "Rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing his praises, all you peoples." And again Isaiah says, "There shall be the root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to rule the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope." Now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope and in the power of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Gospel. Is taken from St. Matthew, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, when John had heard in prison of the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples to say to him, "Art thou he who is to come, or shall we look for another?" Jesus answering them said to them, "Go and report to John what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead rise. The poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not scandalized in me." Then as these went away, Jesus began to say to the crowds concerning John, "What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Behold, those who wear soft garments are in the houses of kings. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall make ready thy way before thee.'" Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, I rather strongly encourage you to please keep this bulletin available for more than one reason, as you shall learn shortly. But there is important information in it with the coming of Christmas and so on. And one thing that I wish to bring to your attention, that Wednesday of this week is the feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. So let us keep that in mind, and if we can't come to church on that day, let us at least give some homage to Our Lady of Guadalupe. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, as I have just mentioned, there is very important information in today's bulletin. Today's bulletin is going to ask of us, and I speak of us, and if I forget myself and say you, don't forget that I'm speaking of us, to us all, myself. Today's bulletin is going to ask of us to make a pilgrimage. A very terrific pilgrimage. And in the voyage of that pilgrimage, there are going to be quite a number of stops, shall we call them stations, where we will have to stop for a moment or two or longer and think. Now you say that this pilgrimage, to make a pilgrimage, is certainly not easy to be done. We cannot go from here to there because we have our own things that have to be attended to. That's understandable. But the pilgrimage of today's bulletin is going to pull us through. Is our heart. That's where everything that is in today's bulletin is going or should take place. You've heard me say it, and you have heard it of yourselves and read it for yourselves. What have I given to my God for all that my God has given to me? And this is very pointed. But because we are who we are, the tendency is very strong for us to keep this thought in the abstract. Yes, Christ loves us. Abstract. Christ came down to earth to redeem man. Abstract. Christ was crucified, died for us. Abstract. And he goes on and on and on. We try to persuade ourselves that we are serious. We are afraid to leave that which is abstract in us and to start looking at a few specifics. Today, in this bulletin, we are looking at specifics. Yes. Christ died for us because Christ loved us. That is all very, very, very true. And so we go merrily on. As we go through life, doing what we well please to do. One mortal sin. One mortal sin only has brought us to where we are today. Just one. We are asked, do you love God? Do you love Christ? Of course I love God. Of course I love Christ. One mortal sin has brought us to where we are today. How many of us in here can boast of having committed just one mortal sin? We talk about love. We don't like to hear about talk about love, because it seems to indicate something. It's effeminate. It is not for man. For man, this love that we talk about. But if I. Love God in the way that it is required of me to love God, there is no force on earth that would pull me through a mortal sin or sin in general. If I love God as God wants me to love him. But let us just for the moment, let the whole pageant of our lives come flying across our mind's eye. And what do we see? What kind of vision do we see? My beloved people, there is nothing abstract about that. Is there? It is a reality that I am guilty of. And if I had loved as I am supposed to love, I would have an entirely different scenario coming to my vision. Remember, the first evidence of the absence of love in its completeness, the very first evidence of it, I will not serve. Yes, in all of this, and when we hear talk about this, we are very worried and very concerned, and we speak of it, that we must not become discouraged. Of course, we must not become discouraged. Because discouragement opens the door for evil to enter in. But we are concerned about our own personal discouragement. Have we ever given thought to the possibility only, of the divine discouragement that was before the face of Jesus Christ, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, when he viewed all that was to be seen from that day forward. And he said, "My God, let this chalice pass from me." Because he saw there and then that all he was about to do would not reach so many of his children. And when he said also, and perhaps, is this discouragement or isn't it discouragement, when he cried out in the prophet, and we read it in the reproaches of Good Friday, My people, what have I done to thee? Or in what have I grieved thee? Answer me. I brought thee out of the land of Egypt, and thou hast led me to the gibbet of the cross. 40 years I fed thee with manna in the desert, and thou hast beaten me with blows and scourges. What more ought I do for thee that I have not done? Is that discouragement or not? But even in his discouragement, if that was so, if that was possibly so, did he not get up from there? And when the mob came, did he not get up and go and meet them at the gate? Did he not? When he asked the question at another time, when I come back, will I find any faith on earth? Again, we take that statement in the abstract. Will he find any hope? Will he find any trust? Will he find any belief? And who will he find who is without sin? When we go about in our own wonderful, smug, self-conscious way, and say, I love God. This bulletin today every line in that bulletin says it was love. Yes, it was love. And because it was love, love literally forced him. He could not have not done what he did for you and for me. He could not have omitted that. It would have been impossible for him because of his love for me and for you. And because of that, he was brought up point by point by point. In answer to the demand of that love. Which one of us, my beloved people, I put myself at the head of the list. Which one of us, having been faced with just any one of the points in today's bulletin, just one of them, not all of them, just one of them, willy-nilly. I would have been crushed. And please do not say that any one of you or us in here would not have been crushed. We read and we quote, we read and we quote. And that all remains in this nebulous, never-never land of the abstract. Beautiful birds singing, flowers blooming, the spring breezes. Everything is wonderful because I love. I love. Everything is beautiful in this wonderful land of my love while we are traveling up the golden road to Oz. Yes. If Christ came down from heaven in his reality, stark reality, to do what he has done as outlined in it, partly outlined in today's bulletin, you know very well that he was very sincere when he came to say, I want you for me in heaven. I've done this so that you, me, by myself, perhaps, can come into heaven to be with me. He does not ask me, therefore, to be crucified or to be scourged or to go on enormous fasts or pilgrimages or any other terrifically out of reach things for me. He does not ask me to do any one of these things. What does he ask of me? What does he ask of me? All he wants to know is, or tell me, is, I want you to love me. That's all he's asking. And look at how we play games with that simple, 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 realistic request of his. If I love him just a little bit of the way that he loved me, or loves me, I could no more sin than fly. When I come back, will I find any faith on earth? It's wonderful. And Christmas is approaching. And we see the beauty of it, because it is beautiful. It is beautiful. We are not asked to do and to live through all this horrendous list that is presented to us in today's bulletin. From beginning to end. And all that he wants of me is not any inconvenience, not any startling proclamation, just love me. That's all. We must learn that our coming to church on Sunday morning is not just a Sunday morning duty, but it is a Sunday, not just, now hear me out, but a Sunday morning love. Which love has to go with me all during the week, and that I do not find myself dressed in Sunday morning duds to be taken off and hung in the closet until next Sunday morning when I put them on again to go to church, but rather that I will live all week in the atmosphere of love. That's all. We're not here for spiritual, for interior theatrics. We're not here for spiritual theatrics. This is not the theater. The only reason why you are here, and why I am here, and why any of us come here, is to give glory to God. Nothing for me, only Him. And until I can say and mean it, I am not giving Him worship. And my reason for coming here is a waste of time. You say, well, Merry Christmas. This is certainly a joyful sermon for Christmastide. Yeah, it is. It depends upon what you consider positive, or what we consider positive, and what we consider negative. If preaching hell is negative preaching, then my beloved people, you better get used to negative listening. I promise you. So let us prepare ourselves as positively as possible for the coming of the child Jesus, because there begins an act of love that is strictly divine. And all the divinity asks of me, nothing more, nothing, nothing, nothing more, is that I try at least to love Him back in return. Simple, so simple, that we run away from it, because in our confused, computerized education, we want to get technical. God is not technical. All He says is, love me.